that's in them that touches our hearts. If you would open your Bibles tonight to the book of Luke in the second chapter. I'm a very traditionalist when it comes to the Word of God. I believe at Christmas time we ought to tell the story about the birth of our Savior. And I know we've been preaching on Christmas subject matters for the last few weeks, but I don't think that we can tell the world enough that we believe that there was a child that was born in a manger in Bethlehem that was more than just a child. He is our Savior and our Lord and our soon coming King. And we appreciate the Lord tonight. Would you pray for us for just a few minutes of time? The book of Luke, as you found it there, and you'd like to stand for the reading of God's Word. Reading just a portion of this tonight, starting with the 8th verse. He says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And stop reading there with that 14th verse, and you can be seated in the house of the Lord. I'd like to take our thought tonight from the 10th verse, when he talks about that this is going to be, he says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." And I'd like to use that for a text for a few minutes of time tonight, talking about the great joy. This was a time that the angels came there to the shepherds that they had never experienced what they saw that night. Every year, the shepherds made sure that they had certain sheep put aside for the Passover, for the time that there would be an offering of a lamb. The shepherds always made sure that that firstborn, without blemish or spot, was taken care of and put away so that no harm would come to it, so that when it was time to offer up a lamb, they would have one that they could offer to those that needed it for their sacrifices. And of course, they had to purchase that lamb from the shepherds. It was not given, but they had to purchase it. But this was different because this time the word come that we don't need one of your sheep. There's a sheep that has been born in Bethlehem. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Brother Sterling used to say when it was time for them to crucify the Lord, it was only fitting that they went to the stable one more time. Some of you remember him saying that. But this would be the last time that they would have to go to a stable to get a lamb. Because the angels came there, the heavenly hosts came there in the Shekinah glory of God. And some people might say, well, what does that word mean? It means that it was a presence like when David went in. You remember at the dedication of the temple. And they went in to dedicate it, and the glory of the Lord was so strong that the ministers couldn't even stand to minister. That's what they saw here that day. It was not just an angel that came there, but it was the angel of the Lord came upon them. This was different because it had the Shekinah glory of God. And look what he said. He says, "I bring unto you good tidings of great joy." The day that your folks, your people have told you about, the day that the prophets told us about, is finally here. And it ought to bring great joy because now it is fulfilled in your hearing, and you also get to go to Bethlehem and see that Christ child that was born there. For over 400 years, there had not been a word from God. And now here comes a word saying, great joy is coming. Great joy is coming because the Christ child has been born. And not only did he say in Bethlehem, but he said that We'll give you a sign how you can find him. Because Bethlehem was a town that was filled with people. They didn't look in the palace. They didn't look in the middle class. No doubt the people thought that he would come to many different ways. But you know where they found him at? In a manger. Out there where the animals was at. Out there where they was kept. But this child that was born in the manger was going to bring great joy, not just to the shepherds, but to all men and women for generations and generations to come. Great joy that we no longer have to worry about a sacrifice. I remember the Word of God, and I'll try to move quickly, but the Word of God says in the day when the sacrifices was offered, that if a family was too poor and they couldn't offer a lamb, or they couldn't offer the bullock or the goat, what they would do is that they could offer up two turtle doves. But this time the word come that we no longer are looking for your sacrifice. You remember in the Old Testament he said that obedience is better than sacrifice. God knew what was coming. Man didn't know, but God knew what was coming. And that everything that you have need of is about to be taken care of with just one birth. Not mine, not yours, but the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And he said, there's going to be great joy. I thought about this and all the folks that experienced great joy when the Lord came. The Bible says back in the book of Matthew in the second chapter, you remember that it was the wise men. We read that a few Sundays ago about the wise men that traveled to be there. This was not at the birth. Let me put that in there. This was after the child was more than likely a couple years old because they was in a house. But you remember the wise men came, and they came with great joy, even though their journey was hard to get to where the Christ child was. They came with great joy, and you say, how do you know they had great joy? Because they had gifts when they came to him. And when they got there, they rejoiced that they saw the Christ child. You remember Elizabeth, you talking about somebody that had some great joy. When the child that she was carrying, being John the Baptist, that she was about 6 months with child, when Mary told her what happened to her and how the angel came and told her that she was going to bear a son and his name shall be called Jesus, which means he takes away his people's sins. And you remember that the Bible says that the babe leaped in her womb. You talking about joy, that's great joy. It wasn't just a little kicking. But the Bible says he leaped in her womb. Yeah. Sometimes I go back when I read that, or I see it in a service where a brother or sister gets caught up in the Spirit of the Lord, and sometimes they'll jump a little bit. Every time I see that, I think about John the Baptist jumping. That's what that word leap means tonight. He jumped in his mother's womb because great joy was told to him. The one that I am going to be the forerunner is coming after me. You remember, and I'm trying to move quickly tonight, but you remember when they thought John the Baptist was him. He said, no, I'm not him. I'm not even worthy to bow down and to tie his shoes. But he that cometh after me, he's the one that shall save you from your sins. There was great joy that was there. And even Mary, after she got past the initial shock that she was going to be a mother. Can I even put Joseph in there? After he got past, you know, he thought about putting her away privately. Is that not what the scripture says? When he heard about this. But then the angel of the Lord came and told him, be not afraid to take Mary to be your wife, because that which is in her is not of man. It's not of you. It's not of anybody else, but it's of the Holy Ghost. You talking about joy. To know that you have been chosen to be the earthly father of the great I Am. To be able to stand with him. And know, you remember Simeon, and I've got so much that's going through my mind and my heart. You remember Simeon when he met with Mary and he saw the Christ child. There was great joy in his heart. He said, because Lord, you promised me I would not die until my eyes saw the salvation of the Lord. And you know what he saw? there that day, he held and beheld the Son of God and great joy. And he said, "Now, Lord, let your servant depart in peace." You talking about joy. His whole life had come to the fullness just to be able to look down upon the Christ child. Last night, and we, Becky and I, went over to the Creation Museum, and I think that the Mr. Ham, the owner of that, is doing a great job, and I'm not advertising for him, but he teaches, and their doctrine is upon Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. And he said it like this in that presentation that we watched, that when Simeon looked in the eyes, he looked into the eyes and he just saw those eyes. But you know what he was looking at? He wasn't looking at the eyes of a baby. He was looking right into the eyes of God. And the eyes of God that he saw wasn't just seeing Simeon's eyes, but it saw all the way down into Simeon's heart and his life. And he knew about the joy that was there. I see all these folks that had this great joy that was there when they saw and heard about the Christ child. And many of our folks today, they don't have a problem with the Christ child. I thought about this as we was driving over here tonight. It seems like times are changing. For the first time that I can remember in probably in my lifetime, I heard on a radio station on Friday, Thursday or Friday as we was driving to work, that they said Merry Christmas. And I thought, Lord, has your people's prayers finally been heard? That this country realizes it's not Xmas Day. It's not a holiday. And I'm not being a smart aleck, but when somebody says happy holidays, I have to say Merry Christmas. Because it's not a holiday. I don't have joy because of a holiday. I've got joy because Jesus was born. And He came to take away the sins of the world. But not just, and folks don't have a problem going to a manger. But folks, I serve a God that's not in the manger anymore. The joy is not in the manger. And I know that I don't fall out with people because of this either, Larry. But some folks have the bumper stickers or the window stickers that say, "Lord, keep me in the shadow of the cross." I don't even want to stay in the shadow of the cross because it's not the manger where He was born or the cross that He died upon that gives me joy. What gives me joy is that He arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And He's alive today. He's not dead, but He's alive. And He's coming very soon to give us even more joy than what this flesh can contain. People say, "What kind of joy do you have?" The Bible says it like this. It says that in the book of Habakkuk, the 3rd chapter and the 18th verse, it says our joy is in God of our salvation. If it wasn't for salvation, we wouldn't have any joy tonight. But how many of you got joy that's unspeakable and full of glory because Jesus came and He paid the price for our sins? And then also, the Bible says in the book of Luke, where we read in the book of Matthew also, that there was many that had joy at the birth. Many of our people today don't mind having joy at the birth of our Lord. But then also it says this as well. In the Word of God, and our Sunday school teacher, man, uses this word, or this scripture often. He says that in the book of John in the 15th chapter, he said not that the joy that the world has, not your joy, but he says that my joy might remain in you today. Even when I'm going through bad times, Sister Barb, I still can have joy. People say, "How can you have joy when you're going through bad times?" Because I know in whom I trust. I know in whom I've placed my whole life. I know that I am convinced today that everything that I am counting on, Lord Jesus Christ is able to deliver to us this evening. And He also says this in the book of John, the 16th chapter and the 24th verse. He says that your joy may be full. I didn't know what joy was until I met Jesus Christ. I didn't know what Christmas was until I got to know the Lord. And folks, and you've heard me say this for so many times over the years, if only our people, and I said it this morning, could see what Christmas is really all about. It's not about the hustle and bustle. It's not about the lights. It's not about even the gifts. What Christmas is celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. In fact, several years ago, I was at work one day, Sister Carlene, and God laid this upon my heart. And I believe I shared this thought taught here at the church over the years. On this coming Sunday, we celebrate the birthday of Jesus Christ. It's His birthday. How many of us ever went to somebody else's birthday party and we received gifts? It don't happen. When you go to somebody else's birthday party, you take a gift that they might be able to enjoy it for the celebration of their birthday. Come Christmas time, there's no reason for you and I to look for gifts. What we ought to be doing is be bringing our gifts to Him that gives us joy beyond measure today. And you say, what kind of gifts can I give a king? The kind that he wants. You know all the Lord asked for? Is that we would follow Him. That we would serve Him. And that we would allow our cups to be filled. People sometimes say, you just don't know what I'm going through. It's not the joy that you have. It's the joy that's down on the inside that really permeates your life and your soul. It just takes you to places that you never thought possible. I've been so low, and people, you have too tonight. Let's just be open for a few minutes and then I'll close. Every one of us has been through dark times, have we not? But when we look back on, does anybody see the joy that you had looking back, even though you was going through them, because you knew this health condition I'm facing, Lord, it's not in my hands. This financial problem I'm facing, Lord, it's not in my hands. This trouble that I'm facing, it's not in my hands. But the joy that we have, and I encourage every one of you tonight, is the joy of knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. That, Jim, that ought to make us want to leap with joy tonight in knowing that although, yeah, we're going to have troubles and trials, but look who my joy comes from today. It comes from the rock, which is higher than we are, and He's able to give us joy if only we'll open up our hearts and allow Him to be God in our life. He also said that this like this. In the book of John, the 17th chapter and 33rd verse, He said that my joy may be fulfilled in them. People say, I don't read anywhere in the world, in the Word, where Jesus had joy when He was here. Let me do this and then I'll close tonight. Could you imagine a life, living a life, knowing that when you come to the age of a minister, and people say, did they have ages? The law said you had to be 30 years old before you could be a minister of God. But living a life, knowing that when you become of age to be a minister, even though you was God in the flesh, that they was going to take your life, that you was going to die on a cross at Calvary. Could you imagine being Mary and Joseph knowing that their son was going to be the Savior of the world? And you remember Simeon prepared their hearts. Listen to what Simeon said unto him. He said, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Simeon prepared her. But before Simeon prepared her, you remember the angel told her. Every day she saw that little boy that was growing up into a man, knowing that he was going to give his life as a ransom for the sins of many. She didn't know when it was going to happen, but he did. Even though he was here in the flesh, he knew. You remember many times when the disciples would say, Lord, go and hide. Get out of the city. Run. He'd say, my time is not at hand. Then that last time, Brother Larry, when they came to him, he said, my time is at hand. What he was saying is that you really can't have joy until I give my life. Yes, it had been joyous to walk on the seashores with him. It had been joyous to see him tell Peter and those others, cast out on the other side. It'd be wonderful to see them go down by the seashore and they said, Lord, it's time that we pay the taxes and we have no money. He said, you go down and get in the boat, you cast out, you pull that fish out of the water and you open up its mouth. It'd been wonderful to see all that. It'd been wonderful. It'd been joyous, great joy to see a blind man receive his sight. It'd been great joy, Brother Ron Ball, to see a lame man leap, or a leper cleansed, or the deaf ears unstopped, or just any of the miracles that he performed. It'd been great joy. But at the end of my life, I still would have died. But tonight, in my closing, even though I wasn't blind, even though I wasn't deaf, even though I wasn't lame, I can stand tonight and say I have great joy in knowing Jesus Christ, because I, like Jack, also remember a day when I was in trouble and it seemed like there was no joy at all. But does anybody else remember, even in your broken state, when you stepped out behind the pew and that burden was lifted and that joy that came in? Have you not had it ever since that day? Yes, there have been times that tears have fallen, but through it all, I have never lost the joy that He gave to me. You know why? Because it's not my joy. It's His joy. And it's great joy. Next time you're thinking about someday you're just... You ever just walking around and you didn't know why you was happy, you was just happy? Some of you looking at me kind of strange. Sometimes I'm just so high and it's like, what in the world am I so happy about? When we're sad, we know why we're sad. Because why am I so happy? And then I had to come to the realization, it must be the Lord. He's shining around me. Even though I may not see Him, even though I may not feel Him, the Lord has given me His joy that I could be happy. And folks, this joy that we have in this life is nothing to be compared with the joy that we shall have. The brother made mention of it just a few minutes ago in his testimony. Very soon, the trump of God's going to sound, declaring that time shall be no more. You talking about great joy. When we get to walk down the streets of glory, and we're shouting, people say, why are they shouting over there? Because there's great joy over there. Why is people so emotional when they get to heaven? Because there's great joy over there. Why is people, they talk about that tears will never stain the streets of that city, and God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. In this life, most of our tears, and this is just Roger, and I'm not going to fall out with you. In this life, we have tears. Most of our tears are tears of sorrow. You know what I believe that the Word is talking about? When we get to heaven, there'll be no tears of sorrow. But folks, let me cry a tear or two when I get over there. Wouldn't it be something if we could just get there with so much joy in our hearts that we could just use our tears to wash His feet? People say, y'all, you're Baptist all the way. It'd be wonderful. People say, but now, Pastor, you know we're not going to cry any tears in heaven. I'm not so sure of that. I'm not so sure. God's already wiped away all of our tears of sorrow when we leave this world. Never again will we have a bad day. Never again will we have bad news. But there will be great joy for all eternity in heaven. Tonight I hope you got something from the message that the Lord gave to me. We can have joy even in the midst of our troubles. We can have joy even in the midst of our trials. We can have joy even in the midst of the problems that's going on. Because you see, most of the problems and things we face are outside of our control. How many of you know that tonight? How many of you, because you know it's outside of your control, you just say, okay, I give up? Not one hand. We keep worrying and keep going. You know what we ought to do? We ought to take it to the Lord so we could have that joy that He wants us to have. People say, that'd be crazy for me to have joy when all everybody around me is in sadness. Folks, the Bible says to mourn with those that mourn, but also to laugh, to joy with those that have joy. And this is a house of joy, is it not? This is where all of our problems was taken away from us because of a man that was born in Bethlehem. And we celebrate His birth this week. But not just His birth, but let's celebrate His death and His resurrection. And you know what we ought to be celebrating the most? We ought to be celebrating that He's coming again. People say, I don't know when He's coming. They didn't know when He was coming then. They had foreknowledge where He'd be born at. They was forewarned that He was coming. But they quit looking for Him. But there was at least two that was looking for Him, right? Simeon was looking for Him because he said, I don't have to worry about dying until I see this Christ child. And Anna, the prophetess. People say, oh, Pastor, you're in a Baptist church. That's what the Bible said about her. She worked around the temple. Sometimes we get too caught up on the titles and what it means and what it could lead to. Let me be clear that God called men to preach the gospel. But he also gave a lot of great work for women to do in the midst of the church as well. And the women said, and the men said, because if it wasn't for good praying moms, many of us would be in a world of trouble. But thank God they had joy, and they wanted us to have that joy as well. If we could stand to our feet and just sing us one verse, just as I am. I don't know your heart. I don't know what you need to do. Maybe tonight you need to allow God just to have that great joy in your life. You just need to allow him to move all those other obstacles out of your way so you can have that joy. People, sometimes I think we say, well, if this would go away or that would go away or if this would change, I'd have that joy that God wants me to have. If we wait for the devil to back off, we will never experience the joy that God wants us to have. We have to move and ask God to help us. Sing on, Brother Jim. One verse of Just As I Am. That's all we're going to do. You just follow your heart tonight. In the house tonight. You want that great joy that God wants you to have? God is leading you, then we welcome you. And we'll work side by side. We need some more men and women out on the front line to work because Jesus is coming soon. And if God is doing that to your heart, that you want to make this your home church, then we ask you to come. If we can sing just one more verse, Sister Edwin, can you give us a key there? And we'll sing this one verse. Follow your hearts tonight. Thank you. any objections to that? All right. Let's welcome into the family. We don't have to have any singing, music.
Can I just share this with you?
Yes.
When Chad said that, the morning you preached that, I heard a song 3 years ago called Would You Follow the Star? And I was going to sing it, and I didn't. And then you preached that message. And then tonight when we stood up there, I thought, I haven't seen that in 3 years. I'm not going to mess it up tonight. And I sat back down, and as soon as you got up there, I thought, I really should have sang that. It was called Would You Follow the Star? So I just think that's so cool how that works. I mean, that's just amazing, Chad. Thank you for sharing that. Well, for one, I just obey God. It's not a good feeling. But, you know, God really was speaking to my heart to sing that. So.
Amen. I just thank the Lord. I mean, you know, like I said, honest to God, it was not something that I contrived. But it just came out.
Yeah.
It came out in the prayer. And I was actually laying in bed, and it came out in prayer.
Amen.
And I thought, and then it just later, it turned out so well. So.
Amen. Let's come around and shake hands with our brother. Welcome him to the Western Baptist Church. And they'll send for his letter. Jeff will be after church to get all the information. But let's come around, shake hands with him, welcome him to our family. And, you know, there's folks that God, when God moves, that's when you need to move in your own heart. So let's come around and shake hands with him tonight. You're going to have to say it. You better sing that song.
I'll do it tonight, right?
I don't want you to be a wolf this week. Come around, shake hands with one another. If you leave before we get around to you, remember Wednesday night we'll be up in Hammersville at Leslie Tate. 6 o'clock here at the church. If you don't want to follow or ride.
Lowly shepherds in a field, watching their flocks by night. The angel appeared, and they were sore affright. But be not afraid, for I bring you good news. The Savior is here, and now you have to choose. Will you follow the star? Time's drawing nigh. He's waiting on you. Can't you hear his cry? It's all up to you. Follow the star. There was a great king who sent for the wise. He asked all they knew about the star in the sky. On a journey they fled that would take them afar. But it was all up to them to follow the star. Will you follow the star? Time's drawing nigh. It's all up to you. Can't you hear his cry?
Bad. When I'm about to, I'm gonna mess up. My heart saw a great light. Be not afraid, for I bring you good news. The Savior is here, and now you have to choose. Will you follow the star? Drawing nigh, he's waiting on you. Can't you hear his cry? It's
kid I know will be here next Sunday. Have a great Christmas.
Let me see that.
And no church on Sunday night, so remember that as well. God bless you.